All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. July 10th, 2025. Mark this day. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It's hot and it's humid. Got up this morning. Ooh, I don't know if I'm going to run. In fact, I don't think I am going to run today. I'm actually doing a few other things. We have family coming in town this weekend. My wife's like, yeah, they're coming in tonight. I'm like, tonight? Jeez. There's some things I wanted to get done before they got here. Nothing big. I wanted to power wash the back porch and front porch, you know, just to get off any dust and residue from the humidity and heat. They both look actually really good, but, you know, just a little touch-up. So I got everything out. Was working on that this morning. My son came down and asked me, you want me to take over? And I was like, sure. Maybe I'll see if I can do a podcast, come up and chat. But yeah, work day, you know, back at it today. I was off yesterday, went and visited my dad. He's doing really well. Went to a meeting, my home group meeting. Great meeting. Haven't been able to scrape up too many problems with my meeting lately. That's good. Yeah, everything's great. Not a lot to complain about. It was nice to go see my dad. You know. My dad's doing really well. It's crazy. You know, I've said before, I don't know if he would be alive if he hadn't been able to get into the veterans home. They take such great care of him. And he had a doctor's appointment. I said, well, how'd the doctor's appointment go? He's like, you know, they rescheduled me for 6 months. I said, okay, well, that's not bad. That's not a bad doctor's appointment. So you could tell he's actually doing really well. He had a hematoma, you know, unfortunately for my dad and most folks of that age, they're on these blood thinners. And so anytime he bangs his arm, he ends up with a black and blue. And sometimes, you know, if they don't, if they're not careful, they can bang that black and blue and kind of rip it open. And I went and saw him last week and he had that sort of thing and he had his arm, it was all bloody. And I'm like, Jesus, how come nobody's put a Band-Aid or something on this? So, you know, not getting all huffy and puffy, but I was like, you know, can this get a Band-Aid and cleaned up? And they're like, oh, my gosh, yes. And so they put two Band-Aids on his arm. And I think that was like a Saturday. And I went back on Wednesday, and those same two Band-Aids were on his arm. I'm like, come on, what's going on? So they gave him a shower and got him all cleaned up. He wasn't complaining. Nobody seemed to be upset about it. Just, you know, the son who's, you know, overprotective. But, you know, I don't want him having, you know, that should be changed every day. Let's be honest here. But whatever, they're doing a great job. But anyway, they changed that Band-Aid. And when I saw him yesterday, the scab and everything was gone and it was actually really healed up. And I said, that's good, Dad. You're healing. You know, it's one thing when you get old and, you know, you hurt yourself and you can't heal up, but he's healing up, so he's actually doing really well.
Oh,
Tool, Sober. Great song. So I shared in the podcast, watch those guys this weekend play with the Black Sabbath. Back to the Beginning. My jaw was on the floor. Those guys were so good. You know, one of the funny things about Tool, and I've seen them live. I've never seen them live in person, but I've definitely seen videos of them performing live. And it's always so dark, right? Tool performs in sort of this ambiance, right? This darkness, and it's very cool, but you never get to really see Maynard. You never get to see really the whole band. And I'm sure people would say that's not true, but I haven't. I haven't really got a chance. They're always sort of mysterious. So at this concert, it was all lit up, you know, and they were on the stage out there in the raw and just awesome. And it's funny. I've always been a fan of Tool, and I like Maynard. He's always come off as a little different. And I guess in this, you know, effort to see this clip of these guys playing this Black Sabbath, I've sort of searched for some Tool and Maynard, and so all these clips are coming up. And he's a trippy dude, man. He's, you know, he's some on the Joe Rogan podcast. He was great. And then Bert Kreischer, I cannot stand that guy. Oh my God, someone please. I'm sure people think he's funny, but he was on Bert Kreischer's podcast and I couldn't even watch it. You know, Bert Kreischer reminds me of back in the day when I was a drunk, right? Just always trying to grab attention. And, it's like looking at myself. It's just disgusting. I can't stand it. But, and even Maynard was like, let's get the hell out of here. But whatever, you know, they're all doing great. So anyway, I went to the meeting last night, like I shared, and great meeting. I think I've shared, I'm sponsoring two guys. They're both doing really well. They're both doing very well, in fact. Both of them came from situations that were pretty rock bottom and have slowly worked their way to, you know, where they are today, which is a lot better, you know. We're always a work in progress, and these guys are doing a great job. Two absolutely different stories, two absolutely different lives, but still doing really well. And my one buddy, he spoke. You know, people always come up to me that, you know, so-and-so is doing really well, and so-and-so is doing really well. Because I think we live in a small town, and, you know, our recovery is pretty, it's pretty out there, you know, out in front of us. So, you know, if you come in and you want to get sober in this area, you're going to meet a lot of people and you're going to see them a lot. You know, whereas in a big city, you might see someone maybe once a week, once a month, maybe once in a lifetime. You know, here I can go to a meeting in the afternoon and I can go to the meeting in the evening and I could still see the same people, right? They're, you know, they're all pretty much into recovery. And unfortunately, sometimes there's not a lot else going on. So we end up just going to a lot of meetings and, so we're a tight-knit group, put it that way. We're a strong herd. And like I've shared before, if you want to get sober and you put your hand out, we're going to bring you into the herd. You will not be skirting on the outside, which I, you know, still see a lot of people do. And and these two guys that I'm sponsoring, you know, they're in the middle of the herd. One guy, he does the coins at our home group. The other guy does, he's in charge of literature at our home group. I spoke for my one, I'm going to call him M1 and M2 because, you know, not that it matters, but I'm not going to, you know, throw their names out there. But M1, right, he's chairing a meeting on Saturdays. I went and spoke for him a couple Saturdays ago. M2, he is, what's he doing? Yeah, he was chairing a meeting and he spoke for a guy last Wednesday at our home group. And so, you know, and people know that I'm their sponsor, just, you know, it's just how it is. It's just because we're all, you know, doing the same thing here. And people come up to me and they say, oh, so-and-so's doing so good. You know, so-and-so's doing so good. And I'm like, yeah, man, they're doing great. It's really cool. And my M2, he spoke at our home group last Wednesday and just did an amazing job. I mean, like, you know, and this is a young guy. I don't know how old he is. He's definitely not in his 30s, I don't think. Maybe late 20s. And just a really good person, right? Definitely got off the track, like all of us have, like I did. But you know, he's really doing well in the program. He's one of these people that it seems like it didn't take a lot to get him back on track. You know, we all have to do the same thing to make sure we stay on track. But he wasn't like fucking completely in the damn woods or something here. Neither one of them, really. Both of them are doing well. And M2, he spoke at the meeting last week. I think it may have been 2 weeks ago, maybe been last week, but just did a really good job. And all these people are like, man, he did so good. And you know, but one of the things I, you know, for me, and right or wrong, I do not know. I've been doing this program a long time. I've done it a few different ways, and I've observed a lot of people. And for me, one of the things is, and like I tell these guys, we're going to be doing this for a long time, right? I mean, I'm going on 18 years I've been doing this. And, you know, every day we show up. Every day we work on this, our recovery. And I remember when I first came into the program, and I've shared, I just wanted to get better, and I just wanted to catch up. You know, I've wasted so much time doing so much stupid shit and avoiding school and, you know, education and you know, responsibility and all that shit. And finally, I'm going to get sober, and I'm ready to jump in with both feet and just catch up. And that didn't really work. I mean, I get it. I mean, it got me somewhere, but to where I'm at today, no, it didn't. It was because, you know, it's when I came into the program, I was a mess, right? And my sponsor was like, don't do this, don't do that, don't worry about this, don't worry about sharing. You know, I was told, I have nothing to really talk about for the first year. Just sit and listen. And I was like, okay. And of course, I would, you know, get called on or something. I remember they did those round robin meetings where, you know, one person would call on another person, and I would just sit there freaking petrified because I didn't want to be called on. I didn't want to share. I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to sit there. Every once in a while, I'd have to say something, and, you know, some words would come mumbling out of my mouth, but I wasn't there to share. But I was really told, you have nothing to say, and so just sit there. You know, there used to be sort of a thing that if you didn't have a year, you couldn't really sit up front. You had to have a certain amount of time to do certain jobs, like secretary and stuff. I feel like we've come a little bit off of those rules lately, or at this point. I don't really know. I don't know if anything is official. Like I said, it's usually somebody with a good idea. But, you know, here we are. My philosophy with these guys is, listen, let's, you know, I'm really just worried about the first three steps right at this point. You know, I think M1 has 6 months, and I think M2 has 7 months, right? We're not dealing with a lot of time, and I'm trying to push the idea that we're going to do this for a while, and let's just take our time. And so we've just been working on the first three steps, and we meet at my house on Sundays. And, you know, the last time we met, I was like, you know, what is it, you know, do you have any obvious situations of the third step working in your life? And, you know, we've just been working on that. And I don't think people really realize how much we work a third step in our life, right? With every decision in my life is a choice, and I can either take it one or two ways. And, you know, today I'm trying to stay on the humble side, right? I'm trying to stay on the light side, the higher power side. I'm not trying to make those decisions that's going to lead me to a place that, you know, I don't want to be. But, you know, that's what we've been doing. And when M2 spoke the other day, he really kept it to the first three steps. He goes, I haven't worked any other steps yet. We've only been working the first three steps. And he had a great share, and everybody thought it was great. But then after the meeting, you know, people are like, oh, you got to do the fourth step. And this one dude got a hold of him and said, you really need to do the fourth step. And so I went to the meeting last night and ran into M2. And he's like, I wanted to talk to you for a second. I was like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, you know, so-and-so says I should really do the fourth step. And I was like, okay, you know, go for it. This is your journey. I am not the Alcoholics Anonymous police. I'm not a professional at this. I'm just here to guide and, you know, give my thoughts and stuff on certain situations. But listen, if that's what you want to do, go for it, right? And but I was annoyed. I was annoyed, and I didn't understand why this my other friend's pushing this 4 steps so hard. And I was a little pissed, you know, because it's not like I own this guy, right? We don't. But, you know, I do. I am trying to push it on these guys that we're in this for the long haul. You know, this isn't a race. I personally don't think I was capable of even understanding the real philosophy behind the 4-step in my first year. It took me years for the freaking cobwebs to clear out of my head before I got to a place in my mind where I started to be able to understand the 4-step. Years. It took me years to start to understand the philosophy of the 3rd step. And honestly, it took me years to understand the philosophy of the 1st step. So to, you know, have someone come to him and say, listen, you really need to do the 4-step. The reality is it is his journey. It is M2's journey. It's his, it's his journey. He gets to experience however he wants. But I can tell you, as a person that's been doing this for a long time, and I've done the 4-step, and I've gotten sober a couple different times in a couple different ways. And the first time I came into this program, I got sober because I had to. And the second time I came into this program, I got sober because I wanted to, because I got to. Completely different perspectives. You know, when I came in the first time, I had no choice. I was back into that corner one more time. You know, I've shared, I did not get sober because I just wanted to stop drinking. I got sober because I didn't want to explain the stitches, right? It was always about self. I remember when I got sober for the first time and he would hear the rumblings of the 4-step and it had this fear to it. You know, people say, oh God, the 4-step. And you're like, oh Jesus. You know, and there'd be a lot of fear and worry and punishment, right? A lot of punishment. And, you know, I wasn't very excited about it. And in fact, when I started doing the 4-step, I did it like every other thing I had to do in my life that I had to do, which was whatever I had to do to get you off of my back. It's how I was in school. It's how I was in work. You know, if I was given a task, I did as much the least amount possible to get by. And that's how I did my first 4-step. You know, my sponsor wanted to do it. I was still trying to figure out if I even wanted to be sober. And now I'm doing a 4-step. And, you know, I've shared in this podcast, man, I did not do a complete one. That means I did not do a complete 5th step. And, you know, I don't know if that's why I drank, but it sure didn't help. Sure did not help my situation. And, you know, you get what you get. And I got what I got. And it was not, you know, the peace, love, and free of fear that I thought I was going to get from it. I was like, damn. I was like, whew, done with that. On to the next, right? Because that's how I thought. Check them off. Get it done. How do I look to everybody else? It doesn't matter. Am I getting anything out of this program? What's it look like I'm getting? Do you believe that I really care? Do you believe I really want to be sober? That's what I cared about. And so, you know, when my buddy was like, yeah, so-and-so says I really need to do a 4-step and was wondering why we haven't started it. I was like, you know, dude, I don't know. You know, what's the hurry? What I've learned in my life as far as recovery is, you know, fine, stop drinking. Admit I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. You know, start to understand what a relationship with a higher power is, and then start learning what it's like to just make better choices. And I've done that for a while, but over time, things would pop up. You know, situations would pop up, jealousy, envy, right? Sarcasm, these different things that would show up and they would bring me problems. You know, they would bring me issues and I'm like, gosh, I'm sober. I'm not drinking and I'm still having issues. And honestly, at this point in my life, without having alcohol in my system, usually when I did something stupid, I really felt it. Like, oh, you know, when I called my buddy a chatty Cathy and he told me that hurt his feelings, I felt, you know, like an inch tall. You know, that was the sarcasm, right? And then I started learning, you know, that's about my ego and my pride. And, you know, it makes me feel better to make other people feel bad. That had been something I would do in my life. Excuse me. And so as these situations would pop up, I'd start to address them one at a time. And then I would, you know, and then I could start to look at it in a fourth step. And then when I finally did the fourth step, it wasn't this, it wasn't based in fear and worry. It was based in curiosity and me being sick and tired of my behavior. And, you know, it's like getting in your car every day, and every day your front tire is low. And you're like, God damn, I gotta fill it up. And, you know, and every day you're like, God, it's low again. And then finally, you say, I got to take it to the repair guy and figure out what the freaking problem is, you know, and maybe it's a nail or bad seal or whatever. And you get it fixed. Well, that's how the fourth step has been in my life. You know, I start experiencing these things and I get sick of them. You know, my life had become unmanageable to me. You know, for so long, my life is unmanageable to everybody else. And I would do and change my behavior because of everybody else. But my life was starting to become unmanageable to me. I was becoming sick of it. And that's where the four steps started to really allow me to learn about who I am and how I can fix things. And that's just my philosophy on this. But of course, you know, somebody always has some fucking good idea, right? And it pissed me off last night that this guy sort of got into my guy's head that he needs to start doing his fourth step. You know, when you look back at, you know, the 12 and 12 and the big book, and, you know, this was coming from a time, you know, it was jail, institutions, and death. There was really no solution. These people went to the bottom, right? Anything goes in that lifestyle back in those days, in the 20s and the 10s and, you know, just the debauchery of alcohol with no solution. It was a bad deal. And when they created this program, and this is just I'm guessing this. It just seems this way. It would make sense. But, you know, you were taking the bottom of the barrel, the worst of the worst, and trying to help them. And, you know, they talk about, you know, they would grab them, right? We would, you know, admit your powers of alcohol, right? Just stop drinking. And then, you know, they'd work the first three steps and then get into a fourth step and work a quick fourth step and, you know, moral inventory and learn who we are, because this is a dire situation. But the program also talks about, you know, that we've raised the bar. And, you know, these two guys, M1 and M2, they're not stealing. They're not pillaging. You know, they're living decent lives. They just got off the rail a bit. I mean, they got off the rail a lot when it comes to alcohol, but, you know, and it's the same with my life. I wasn't stealing. I wasn't hijacking. I wasn't, you know, manufacturing. I was just a dipshit out there partying. So, I mean, I'm not going to say you shouldn't immediately do a fourth step, but I'm sort of saying I don't really see if we're all that ready to do a four step right away. Like I told them, live your life. See how things feel. When situations come up, let's discuss it. You know, maybe we can start beginning to make a list on a four step. But no. So, fast forward, I was just like, you know, listen, guys, I was talking to M2. And I said, listen, you want to do a four step? I go, and the funny thing is, you know, we meet at my house every week and we've been doing the first three steps. And I was sort of like, you know, I'm just want to kind of hang out in the first three steps for a while. I said, if you guys want to start working on the four step, you can start making a list. You have to do the work, not me. And the guy that, you know, was talking about the four step now, he's like, he had come to me, he says, I never picked up the paper. I said, right, exactly, because, you know, there's an ego side of us that says we want to do the fourth step, but once we say it and we're by ourselves privately, it becomes a task, a job. Fear comes in. And then we start doing it for the wrong reason. And, you know, listen, I know people that have done, you know, it seems like people have done the fourth step on the fourth day and didn't stay sober. I know people, you know, that carry around books and you know, they, you know, beat the AA drum all the time. They didn't stay sober. You know, what I've learned in my journey is, you know, one day at a time, you know, but, you know, we're never cured. We never leave a step behind. It is just, you know, something that's part of our daily life. And I would prefer to take it slow. But I remember coming into the program, I just wanted to get better so quickly. So I don't know. And then actually after the meeting, I was like, you know, that's fine, guys. You know, whatever it is, your journey. I said, just make sure if you want to start working on your four step, you do it from the heart, not the head. You know, and I shared everything I just said. You know, let your life, live your life, and when things start to come up, you know, write it down. You know, if you've been lying, if you've been cheating, if you've been stealing, right? If you've been doing these things, and they're becoming a problem, they're becoming, your life's becoming unmanageable for those things, you know, yeah, then we need to start looking at these things. But, you know, be patient. And I had to also look at myself. You know, I'm like, how come this guy's telling my sponsee, right, what to do? And the reality is, you know, it takes a village. So it's all good. But, you know, if you're on a fourth step, take your time. You know, don't drink. Talk to your sponsor. Go to meetings. You know, read the literature. Say your prayers. And, you know, see what comes next. But don't be tortured by the fourth step. Its time will come. All right, let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go work today. Pretty excited about that. Nice day at work. All right, let's see. Daily reflections. That was funny yesterday when the reading was on the seventh step. I thought that was funny. Toward peace and serenity. When we have taken a square look at some of these defects, have discussed them with another, and have become willing to have them removed, our thinking about humility commences to have a wider meaning. Yes. That's some more seventh step. When situations... Okay, 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 74. When situations arise which destroy my serenity, pain often motivates me to ask God for clarity in seeing my part in the situation. Admitting my powerlessness, I humbly pray for acceptance. I try to see how my character defects contributed to the situation. Could I have been more patient? Was I tolerant? Did I insist on having my own way? Was I afraid? As my defects are revealed, I put self-reliance aside and humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. The situation may not change, but as I practice exercising humility, I enjoy the peace and serenity, which are the natural benefits of placing my reliance in a power greater than myself. Yeah, man. You know, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, they all sort of work together with me. You know, I made the list, you know, I shared it with another person, and then, you know, I start really focusing on these character defects and where they come from and, you know, what's behind them and how are they screwing up my life. All right. Well, anyway, listen, I appreciate you letting me share, you know, patience, right? This is, we're going to do this for a long time. So just take your time, relax, and enjoy learning about ourselves and recovery and building that relationship up with, hopefully, with God. All right, thank you. Talk to you later. Bye. I am just a worthless lawyer. I am just an imbecile. I will only complicate you. Trust in me and fall as well. I will find a center in you. I will chew it up and leave. I will work to elevate you. Just enough to bring it down. We'll be right back.
hopeless liar. I am just an imbecile. I will only complicate you. Trust in me and fall as well. I will find a center in you. I will chew it up and leave.